Board. All right, good evening, everybody. I call this meeting to order. This is a regular meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is November 15, 2011. The time is 6:05 p.m. Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mrs. González?
Here.
Mr. Parada?
Here. And the next agenda item is the Pledge of Allegiance, and I see that we have some great members in the audience that would like to. How about somebody from the AMS cross country team, a boy and a girl, to come up here and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Would one of you like to come up here and lead us? Come on up.
Let's grab that young man.
Come on up here. All right. The U.S. flag is on this side. All right. So anytime y'all can go ahead and start and lead us.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now to the Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all very much. All right. Ms. González, would you please read the Canutillo Independent School District mission statement?
Yes, sir. Canutillo ISD will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. González. It takes us to the next agenda item. Tony?
Item 2 is Board Honors. Mr. Rodriguez.
Gustavo, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. President Coronado, members of the board, Dr. Murphy. Could you please join me down here by the steps so we can proceed with board honors? Last Friday, our students took part of their busy school day to pay tribute to the men and women of our military, both past and present. Each school held different types of ceremonies to commemorate those who have given their lives to the protection of our freedom. Veterans Day is a big deal for Canutillo ISD because we value the military. That's why today we honor those campus employees who have in the past, and in some cases still do, served the United States military. Each school in our district has sent a veteran from their faculty or staff to represent all the veterans there. Please help me honor them by giving each a loud round of applause and your heartfelt gratitude. I'm going to call the members by school. And we have some representatives here from schools who are not able to be with us today. But we will mention their names because we feel that it's important to recognize everyone. From Canutillo High School, with us today, we have Fiatro Ramirez. Fiatro Ramirez is here on behalf of Guillermo Valderrama, Daniel Dewey, Bernie Escobar, Robert Lopez, Daniel Maldonado, Ray Medina, Rolando Rosales, and Rick Tate, were all veterans.
Coach, if you could just wait.
Northwest Early College High School had one veteran on its campus, and Dr. Kenneth Holzman. He could not be here with us tonight, but I think it's important to you also recognize him. Then at the middle school has several veterans and its staff and faculty. Mr. Hermes Worth was supposed to be here today as well, but I don't believe he was able to make it. But at Andrete, we have, besides Mr. Ford, we have Andres Aviola, Carol De La O, Jose Diaz, Francis Hayes, Christopher Scott, and Shad Sweden. From Campillo Middle School, we have two veterans, both said they will be here, Mr. Viviano Maldonado and Mr. James Henshaw. From Cantillo Elementary School, we have Stephanie Taylor. From Bill Childers Elementary, Mr. Francisco Molina. From the Anna Davenport Elementary School, we have Francisco Bernal. He cannot be here with us tonight, but also at the Anna Davenport, we also have a veteran, Raul Ramos. And from Garcia Elementary, we have Audrey Stewart. Members in the audience, these are the men and women that have direct contact with our children that also have served our country. So let's please give them a round of applause.
Come on in, guys. Let's get a picture of the center.
Complete and total domination. You don't believe me? Check this out. Andrete won not one, not two, not three cross-country championships at this year's El Paso County Athletic Conference. They won all four of them. Won the 7th grade and 8th grade titles in both the boys and girls divisions. Let's give them a loud round of applause as I call them. It's worth noting that all four teams are coached by Valente Hernandez and by volunteer coach. Come up and greet the board.
7th grade girls, come on up.
Come on up.
Over here.
Oh. Isabel Alvarez, Mariana Armengol, Natalie Arteaga, Stephanie Baca, Lisbeth Martinez, Samantha Limon, Alyssa Lopez, Alyssa Nieves, Alexandra Ortiz, Nettie Peralta, Cassandra Reed, Valerie Vences, Castillo Kami, and Nayeli Alonso.
Coach, seventh grade girls and coaches, please come up.
I'm also going to call up AMS principal, Ms. Morty Rocha.
Yeah, parents, come on up, no problem. Everybody smile.
One. two, three.
Smile,
guys. One, two, three. One last one, guys. Come on. One, two, three.
Yay. Thank you.
And last but not least, the 8th grade boys. The teachers get out of Daniel Delgado, Mark Victron, Israel Larea, Miguel Moreno, Gustavo Núñez, Edgardo Romero, Robert Rodriguez, and Richard Sabanero.
What's up? Rebuilding.
Rebuilding.
6 years. Yeah.
Just come in and go.
So that we can continue to move all of our students toward college and career readiness. First, I'd like to introduce our mathematics curriculum coordinator. Rosetta Cedes comes with us from AMS. Welcome, we're very happy to have you here. Next, I'd like to introduce our English Language Arts and Reading Instructional instructional Coordinator and Interventionist, Nelly Sanchez, also comes to us from AMS. In the classroom and 3 years as an instructional coordinator. Woo! Next, with 14 years of experience to help us with our social studies curriculum, is Mr. David Fintel. Here in Panotillo, we have our early childhood coordinator, which is Magdalena Valdez. And finally, to help us with the staff development, the professional development that, that your teachers attend, is with 16 years of experience, is Judy Jimenez, who comes to us from the Human Resources Department. Our science curriculum coordinator is not here today, actually, because she's in Austin at the TESOLA conference learning more about our science expectations from the state and the curriculum and the STAR test that I'm sure you all heard about that's come out. So her name is Annie Flores, and she is from UISD.
Cross-country teams leave, I want to tell you that we're going to have a 2-mile walk run for you guys right after the meeting. Isn't that great? All four teams. That is fantastic. Does anybody know where the cross-country teams were from? I was hoping they would yell AMS again. All right, thank you, Gustavo, for that presentation. Again, the board wants to congratulate our new curriculum people that here in central office. I think that's going to make a big difference in the support to our campuses and the teachers, and so we welcome that more support for the teachers. So I am really glad that we did the Veterans Day commemoration and presentation, because it lets you see some of the faces that you didn't know had served our country in that capacity, and are serving us now again as teaching the kids, which is, I think, is still also community service, and it's great to see to recognize some of these people that you didn't know had also served us in that capacity. So it's great to have them recognized. All right, board, any comments? No? All right. Tony, next agenda item.
Item 3, superintendent's comments, Dr. Murphy.
Board president, board members, audience, thank you, that was fantastic, and I'm just so thrilled. Alvarete also won the 8th grade boys football championship this year, so really bodes well for our future. Those areas. CMS also took second in district, so we have a bright future. Board members, I just want to let you know that I'm sure I speak for Margarita and the staff. We certainly appreciate your consideration of refunding of the money for the Parental Engagement Conference. We did finally get the numbers in. We were expecting 800 parents from across the region. We had 1,300 attend that day. It was a fantastic event. I was able to serve as one of the keynotes. We had a distinguished author. What was that gentleman's name? Troncoso?
Sergio Troncoso.
Sergio Troncoso, who is an author and an Isleta native, flew down from New York City to speak. He lives in New York City now. He's an Isleta native, and he's written about his childhood in Isleta. And really great event, and thank you for your support there. Also, thank you for allowing me to attend personally the Superintendent's Conference at Texas A&M last week, the School Leadership Conference. It was fantastic, and it was very affirming because it was all about teacher evaluation and teacher effectiveness. And I can tell you that although I learned a lot, I was also very pleased in that many of the things that they were asking districts to do, we are already doing a great job in and are accelerating. The main one being their number one suggestion was short visits to classrooms, 3 to 5 to 6 minutes, with a little feedback back to the teacher. And we have our own CISD walkthrough form that does exactly that. And that was their number one recommendation. So had a fantastic job, time, and it was very productive. I also got to see my family as well for an afternoon. So thank you, board, for allowing me to attend that. And with that, I'll turn the time back over.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Any comments from the board? Questions? All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. That takes us to the next agenda item.
Item 4 is reorganization of the board, nomination, selection of board officers. Mr. Carmody?
All right. This is a yearly thing that we do. And so at this time, I will, at the board's pleasure,
Mr. Chair.
Open up for nomination of and selection of board officers. Ms. Gonzalez.
I was going to nominate Mrs. Searles for board president.
All right.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second on nomination for the office of president for Ms. Lori Searles. Do we have any other nominations?
I do. I'm so humbled by your nomination, but I really feel like you've done an excellent job, Mr. Coronado.
You. I appreciate that, Lori. But
I would like to really, we've been such a wonderful board. I'd like to nominate you.
You know what? I really have no. I think any one of us would do a great job. So I welcome you.
I know that
to,
you would, but
take the helm.
I'm very happy with the job you've done, Mr. Coronado.
I'm very happy for any of us to take the helm. I feel we have a great board, and we work well together. And so, I've served for quite some time. So,
Mr. Chair,
please consider. Yes.
I would just like to not even move to the next agenda item and just leave it
as is. That would be my recommendation.
Well, we do have a nomination for one office right now, so.
Ms. Searles, did you move?
From where?
No, she asked.
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
No,
I see. She asked.
I tell the board that I'm just so pleased. I've never served under such a wonderful president as Mr. Coronado. And, you know, I humbly tell you that.
I appreciate the sentiment, Lori, but, you know, we would welcome you to serve, or any member. We are very...
Then I will receive the nomination.
All right. Okay. We have nomination for the office of president of the board. And that would be Lori Searles. Anybody else? All right, nominations then will cease for the office of president. And I think by board acclamation, since there's only one nominee, then I will, let's put it.
Well, when she nominated?
Vote. No, I don't think I.
Lori nominated.
All right, then let's take a vote then for Lori Searles for the office of president. Rachel?
Yes.
All right, Patsy?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Searles?
I'll abstain.
All right, Ms. Cáceres?
Yes.
Ms. González?
Yes.
Mr.
What's his name?
Rodriguez?
Yes.
All right, and I say yes. Lori?
Can we just, I really like it here.
Sure.
You know
whatever,
how I feel about
whatever
change.
Your pleasure, Ms. Chair.
I feel red in the face. Thank and you very much for...
And I am proud to hand this over to you. All right.
And I hope that, I'll serve you all well, you know that. But I'd like for the district to know, and maybe Gustavo, that you would make sure that the only reason there's change and our board has nothing to do with anything but just the tide. We are probably the finest board. We are the finest board. We're going to show them too. We're going to be an honor board. And it will reflect on this entire district. I will make that my mission before next year this time, that we will be an honor board, God willing. So thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Oh. Well, Mr. Coronado, I'd like to now take nominations for selection of Vice President.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to nominate Mr. Armando Rodriguez as Vice President.
And I'll second that.
I move to nomination cease.
And with that, Tony?
Mrs. Quijano?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs.
Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs.
Cáceres?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes. Congratulations.
It's because he has the mustache. Could I now have nominations for secretary?
I'd like to nominate Mrs.
González
for the office of secretary.
And I'll second that.
And
are there any other nominations?
Can she stay right here, though?
Uh-huh, she can. I like us all where we are, unless anybody wants to move around. Yeah, we're good. Then the nomination shall cease. And Tony, could you... call the phone.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
No, I'm staying.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
With that, Tony, could you move us to the next agenda item, please?
Item B is consider approval request of use of school facilities from Upper Valley Spanish Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses for use of Canutio Elementary School on April 5th, 2005. And I do believe we have a representative from here.
If they'd like to come forward, please.
Good evening, board.
Good evening, sir.
I'm Lozano. I'm an elder of the congregation of Upper Valley Congregation Spanish, situated next to Jose Hernandez School. And it's a pleasure to say that this is my first time again with you, but we have done business with the Independent School District before. We have a history of renting or leasing Jose Damian before, due to the fact that our congregation has grown and we have to expand. We used County Elementary back in 2007-2008. Unfortunately, with our return in 2009, at that time I was informed by people in central office that situation was being put on hold. They were not leasing any more properties from Independent School District from Canutillo. So after 2 years of hiatus, I would say, I took a pleasure of coming back here because I just leave a stone throw away from here in Borden. And fortunately, I talked to Ms. Cristina Hernandez and she said, yes, we are again releasing forms so you can lease, but you need to have the approval of the board. And this is what I'm here for.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the request for use of school facilities from Upper Valley Spanish Congregation, Jehovah's Witnesses, for the use of Dundee Elementary.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and seconded to allow the use of the school facility of Jose Damian School for
no.
The no? For the use of the Canutillo Elementary School on April 5th of 2012. Tony?
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
And sir, I couldn't help but read your letter in here. I'm glad to hear that you will leave the building like you found it, that you have a worldwide reputation for cleanliness.
Matter of
Thank
fact,
you, sir.
In 2009, we held international assemblies all over the world. I had some members from the congregation attend the city of Lima, Peru, and there was, in that city, they had two stadiums. The one that my our sisters attended, they had 445,000 people in attendance of all nations. And we are proud to say that we cleaned before and after the event was over. And I appreciate the board taking their busy time in taking us in consideration. And we hope and having a long business or whatever you say, camaraderie with the Canutillo Independent School District. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next agenda item, please.
Item C is consider selection of CISD board member to serve on legislative task force on school board transparency.
That is on page 8. And I don't know if anyone took a chance to read over what's called for here. Mr. Coronado, could you present this?
Sure,
since
I'll be glad. I'll be glad to do that. I basically received a letter from our representative, Marisa Marquez, and she has contacted all the board presidents of the region. You can tell by the information with respect to the attachments that she is seeking input from our local district with respect to some issues regarding legislative agenda with respect to boards. Some of the issues that she wants to explore is in the area of, I guess, more transparency. Some of the issues do involve, like, for example, telling boards or the school districts how to select vacancies on the board. You know, I agree with some of the issues that she's bringing out, but I think that some of the issues are best left to the local authorities, in this case the local school boards. And so I have received input from some of the other board presidents in the area, and while they support some of the things that Representative Marcus is asking for, a lot of those things they feel are, should be left in the control of the local boards themselves. So I think, you know, I don't know whether every district is going to send a representative or not at this point, but I think it's incumbent that we send somebody just to let our voice known in terms of how we feel on some of those issues. And so I think we need to send somebody somebody who's is going to be strong in that area in terms of making sure that we make the voice known of our local boards as to how we feel about some of these issues. I think what they're trying to do is good, but some of those I think should be left to the local boards. And you know, that's one of the things that's great about being an independent school district is that we don't have to, in a lot of things, we can move forward in terms of how we want to do things. And so I think, you know, it's commendable that she wants to do this, and some of those are good things are good, but I think some of those things should be left to local boards. And so.
And I agree with you completely. From what I read, this is how I read it too, that her idea is good. I don't exactly agree with the points she makes. With that, is there a selection that the board would like to make of someone to serve on this legislative task force?
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see Mr. Coronado represent us. I think he put it very well, and I think he would. He speaks well for all of us, and I'd like to see him represent the board.
Do I have a second?
I'll second him.
Okay. Ms. Caceres, you want to make it a motion?
Yes. Motion to recommend Mr. Sergio Coronado as the representative for the Campo Independent School District to attend this, to be our voice for the legislative task force on school board transparency.
Thank you. And second?
I'll second that. Again.
Tony, could you pull the board, please?
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Abstain, and I appreciate the board's nominating me to represent us there. I think we do need to have a voice there. Some school districts are considering not even, because of those issues, sending somebody, but I think we need to speak up.
I agree. Thank you, Mr. Coronado. We trust you'll do exactly what needs to be done. Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
Can I ask, or can I go back and abstain from my motion?
What'd you move?
On my nomination for vice president. Is there legal counsel?
Sure. You can just reflect on the record that his intention was to abstain from that.
Okay.
Nice. And Tony, that looks like it takes us to our public hearing.
Yes, ma'am. Discussion and action to conduct public hearing pursuant to Texas Tax Code Section 11.253 regarding local option on taxation of goods in transit. The district will hold a public hearing to discuss and receive comment from the public regarding amendments to the Texas Tax Code Section 11.253. Mr. Bumpel.
Thank you, President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy. This item is on the agenda because the recent legislative session made an amendment to an article of the tax code. Previously, under that section of the tax code, certain goods in transit, which are essentially warehouse goods, goods are stored at various locations, had a large exemption that did not allow taxing entities to tax those categories of goods, so they were excluded from their taxable base. The legislature has amended that and removed the exemption. However, they required that taxing entities act, and act rather quickly. They gave us about a 90-day window to do it. You need to act on it tonight if you want to go ahead and tax those goods that were formerly exempt. It's a way to increase the tax base. It's our recommendation that you do so. We have prepared a draft resolution and ordinance. We will need to revise that, but we can do that pro forma as we go forward to change the signature line for the president and for the secretary. At this time, what you need to do is open it up for public discussion.
Yes.
And see if anybody has any comments on it, and then we can move to the next item.
Which I would like to do. If there's anybody here who'd like to talk about that, Please feel free. Ms. Aguirre, would you like to tell?
I just recommend that we move forward and adopt the resolution.
Thank you.
Item B is the discussion and action on approval of resolution and ordinance relating to approval of taxation of goods in transit that are otherwise exempt from taxation pursuant to Texas Tax Code, Section 11.253.
With that, do I have a motion?
Madam.
Yes, sir.
President, I move at this time to approve the resolution and ordinance relating to the approval of the taxation of goods in transit that are otherwise exempt from taxation pursuant to the Texas Tax Code section and the resolution is presented in our attached materials.
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Coronado. Mr. Koster, is any discussion?
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Next item is open forum, and we have two individuals signed up, and the first one is Estela Ramos.
Distinguished board members and Dr. Murphy, I am here today to talk to you about a promise that was made to Algarete Middle School in 2006 by the school board members. In 2006, I was sitting in the audience during a board member meeting that was for the teachers and administrators of AMS. I was with my husband, Regino Ramos, which at the time was a choir teacher and chairman of the Department of Visual and Performing Arts at Algarete Middle School. And in that meeting, they were presented with a schematic drawing of future upgrades for AMS. These upgrades included the football field and two other phases, one being the fine arts facility that was to be 11,000 square feet and would house, a band room, choir room, an auditorium for theater arts and visual arts room. The placement was to be between the new science building and the football field. Right now, you may be wondering, why is this so important? Well, Regino Ramos was the one person that established the Visual and Performing Arts Department at AMS and was a strong advocate for this fine arts facility. But after he left, it seemed that it was forgotten. I was hired a year after my husband left, and I have been the chairman of the Visual and Performing Arts Department since, and I have fought to keep the department alive with each new administrator that has come in to AMS, and I have made it a point to tell them about that facility. Now, another bond issue has come and gone, and yet no hope for this facility has been seen or even mentioned. With this new bond, a committee was put together to decide how the monies would be allocated, and AMS received a big allotted monies to build a music building that would be placed on the area that was once promised for the fine arts facility. Please understand that I know that Regino Ramos Jr. established the School of Music and that this is the one reason why AMS was allotted this money for the music building. And by no means are Mr. Ramos and I in conflict with each other. On the contrary, we support each other 100%. But I do want you to know that I am a strong advocate for the fine arts, especially visual arts, just as Mr. Ramos. I am happy that the School of Music is finally getting the support that they need from the district. And I do have to ask myself a question. Why can't this fine arts facility be built? Board members and Dr. Murphy, I don't know what process to go through, what to follow, and what issues to get this resolved. So I have come here this evening to ask for your help to clear up this issue about the facility. Will it be a music building that will house band and choir only, or a fine arts facility that will house all four specialized areas? I know that the district has wanted to focus more on the fine arts, and what better way by preparing the district with the first fine arts facility at AMS. Many big districts like Socorro, Isleta, and El Paso Independent School District has fine arts facilities. And this can be a stepping stone for what's to come for Canutillo District. Please, I'm asking you for your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Ramos. I think you know under the Texas Open Meetings Act, we're not allowed to reply to you, but your comments are well taken. Thank you very much.
Next is Dr. Murphy and Steve Warner.
President Searles, board members and audience. Steve will make comments as needed. I needed to just let the board know and also, more importantly, speak in open forum on the record. I'd like to thank the board for recent consideration of the possible purchase of a vehicle for the superintendent's office, and I totally understand that right now, I totally respect that right now the board feels that that is not the direction to go, and thank you for the consideration. I do want to let you know that as a private citizen, I still need to purchase a car. So I will, being careful to follow all rules and the advice of counsel, I very well will be working with the same vendors that you guys got the bids from, and very well might be working on purchasing one of the same vehicles. And I just wanted to let you know, and Steve can comment, that as you chose not to move forward with the bid, it is legal for me as a private citizen under the rules to go to those vendors and negotiate with those same vendors basically on the same car, since there's no action from the board. And I wanted to publicly say that in light of everything that's going on in this town regarding public officials, I want in no way to cast a negative light or make it seem like I'm getting any type of preferential treatment. I know that the price I will get will be higher than the price that the governmental entity could get, and I in no way will represent myself as purchasing it for the district, but as a private citizen. Steve, did I say that right, or is there anything else I need to say?
No, President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, you actually advised Dr. Murphy to make that comment in open forum because you did have a bid. The bid wasn't acted on. If the district had chosen or had a desire to lock in for that particular vehicle at that particular price, he wouldn't be able to buy that vehicle. It's my understanding that the board is choosing not to buy those vehicles, so he is free to negotiate the price on any of those vehicles that he wants to as a private citizen.
I just want to let you know that, and I will act in good faith and certainly represent myself as a private citizen and not as a acting in behalf of the district, and we'll see what happens. I very well won't purchase that vehicle, but I just wanted, as I go out shopping, to make sure that that was an option for me.
Thank you for that transparency, Dr.
Thank you very much.
Next is item 7A, Highly Qualified Teachers Report, and Ms. Sylvia Gonzalez will be presenting on behalf of Ms. Carrasco.
President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, the Human Resources Division would like to report that all paraprofessionals and teachers placed in the academic core areas of study are 100% highly qualified. The highly qualified report has been submitted to TA, and we are required to make the report easily accessible to the public, so we have already placed it on our website, and we're collecting a history since last year to this year. We already have two reports saying that paraprofessionals and teachers are highly qualified in kind of the ISD.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. That's really quite an honor that we've gotten there. And keep up the good work. Do we need to take any action or just understand and hear that, Dr. Murphy? Just for information, thank you. And Tony can go to the next one.
Yes, next item is the team's finance module project update. Ms. Short, please.
And
Estela.
Yes. Estela Jimenez and Ernie are going to present on Teams.
Good evening, Board President Searles, Board Members, Dr. Murphy. We have submitted to you on Friday, respectfully, an update on the project management that we have begun with the implementation of the team finance module. The first page you have there, we've kind of broken it up in three parts. The first page you have is really what our overarching goal is, and the CISD mission, and some of the related risks that we identified in our process of implementing a project management methodology. And I'll go over just some of those. You know, it's some of them where we're unable to close out a month, complete bank reconciliations, track balance sheets. We had to rely on a lot of workaround processes as opposed to standard procedures or solutions, and increased potential for financial audit findings, which reflect poorly on the district, especially on their ratings and first ratings and bond ratings. And even more importantly, we had the lost opportunity to share these best practices district-wide. So the next few pages you see there are some of the current issues and challenges we had. The first one and foremost one was the project management aspect of it. We didn't really have the methodology in place. And so Estella and I have began our work with our champion, being Dr. Murphy, our executive directors, Martha Carrasco, Martha Aguirre, and Annette Brigham. And we started to look at how we are managing that project and identified solutions and how we are going to rectify some of the challenges we have. Second part is in communication. We found that there was some communications both internally and externally that we needed to work on. And we implemented some weekly project status meetings with ProLogic. I'm happy to say that we do have the Chief Operating Officer, Gary Axman, on a weekly basis. Every Friday we meet with him, we go over our agenda. He is reporting back to us on a weekly basis. We also internally have begun weekly meetings with, or bi-weekly meetings between our HR and finance department, because they are interwoven and we need to communicate as well internally and the problems that we come up with and possible solutions. The third item you have is the problem resolution management. We found that we had an internal database already that we could use to track how we were communicating to ProLogic. And we implemented that, and it's been very, very successful. Everything from the time we implemented the ticket reporting in school due has not become a critical issue, because we're able to track it and find solutions to that rather quickly. The next two pages, I'd like Estela Jimenez to kind of reflect on. These are conversion-related issues that were critical at the time Dr. Murphy and I believe President at the time, Sergio Coronado, and Diana Hidalgo met with the ProLogic team.
Well, basically what you have in front of you is the list that was attached to the original letter that was delivered to ProLogic. We wanted to make sure that we addressed these items and kind of gave you a status on these items. We tried to put comments in there that kind of may help explain if there's some sort of understanding of that. The colors and the stars indicate how far we've come, if we've done anything with that item. Orange achieved, if we take a look at the accounts payable number 5 under category 1, it says accounts payable unable to troubleshoot or robustly use system due to lack of training or clear understanding. We have set up trainings on a weekly basis, and one of those was accounts payable recently. We have met with the accounts payable department after this training and made sure that there was a better understanding of the process, because when we initially met with everybody, one of the major things was that there was a lack of understanding in certain areas, accounts payable being one of them. So hopefully that, you know, like I said, we've talked to accounts payable. They have a better understanding. We're constantly in communication with them. We can take a look at the next item, highly qualified ProLogic representative available on a regular, if not semi-permanent basis. The initial visit with Gary Axman, after you all visited ProLogic over in Austin, he came by. He spent about 2 or 3 days trying to address one of the lists that finance had prepared. And then again, like Ernie mentioned, we're having weekly meetings with him and staff members that are experts in the area whenever we have the issues of, on the list of items. I don't know if you flip on the second page, it continues on to the different categories that were already established with that letter.
I don't know if anybody has any comments, questions about that.
I think it's important for us to note that on the left-hand column, you see the conversion-related issues. And the comment was if they would just fix it or bring it on board, we would probably be fine. And you can see most of those have either been achieved or they're in progress of being achieved. Those are the ones we addressed right away.
Board questions? Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
The only thing about this conversion-related issues and other ongoing issues is that it says achieved in progress and pending. We don't have color copies, so we don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But it wasn't included in our reporting package, so it was kind of like, anyway, thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
President and board members, I just want to say that the feeling is that although the mountain has not been climbed, we certainly have made it onto the face of the mountain. The feeling is that we are definitely moving in a positive direction. I want to personally thank Diane Hidalgo for spurring us in the direction toward the project management concept and format. And it's worked out very well. Diana has also been a very strong player on this and has attended the meetings and been very helpful. And I really want to thank our project managers, Estella and Ernie. They've done a great job. And the feeling is that we are starting to really turn the corner on a lot of these issues. It's not perfect yet, but we certainly are much further down the road than we were 2 months ago.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Doc, have they been responsive even after the first few weeks that they promised to come out? That has it continued in that light in terms of their cooperation with us?
Well, we have our CFO here, probably can comment on that. There have been a couple hiccups on that, but all in all, again, I would say that we're. That much more so than prior to our Austin visit, much more so.
I would like to start by saying thank you very much, first of all, because of your assistance and your visit, the reaction from ProLogic has definitely improved towards our, you know, the customer service that we wanted. The implementation of the project management team has been outstanding. I really appreciate all the assistance. You know, they keep us on top of our tasks that we have, as well as keeping ProLogic, you know, abreast of everything that they are pending and holding them accountable for what they promise and say they will provide for us. And so I really just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. The staff is feeling very confident that there is light at the end of the tunnel. They are slowly regaining that faith that we need to have in a system that we are going to count on for our reporting. And so definitely through the trainings and additional questions and just the time they make to meet with us, we've been able to have a better understanding of the system. And, you know, ultimately gives them that feeling of, okay, we can do this and we'll move forward and continue that building relationship with teams. And so, you know, as of right now, like, there's nothing I can say that is negative. I understand it's not going to be something that's going to be immediate, a quick fix, but I feel that we are moving in the right direction. So I appreciate your assistance. Thank you very much.
Ms. Aguirre, I have a question for you. I know that when I read through this, if it were me, I don't know if I could be as confident as you are, but you're hands-on with it. I'm reading that there could be problems with our audit. We could be held responsible for issues.
The reporting, you know, we've made, I think, a lot of the discussions and our concerns, we've elaborated with them. We've explained why it is that we don't feel the confidence in what we're seeing. And so they are working with us. We have had a couple of meetings where other school districts participate, and they, as a matter of fact, have called us now to help them get to where they need to get. And so I think the collaboration is working well, and you know, just we're staying on top of the audit requirements that we will be reporting on come June of next year.
Do you feel our finances are secure?
I have to say yes right now. I don't feel, like I said, it's not a complete work project yet. It's work in progress, but I think we are moving in the right direction.
Okay. And if you don't feel that our finances are secure, I hope you'll be the first to tell us, because it counts. It matters. Thank you.
I will definitely.
Mr. Coronado?
Yeah, and along those lines, the reason I asked that question is because when we met with them, I mean, one of my deals was that they needed to respond to the issues in the service. And I want to see, because I know that our board is very resolute about this issue. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the board is concerned that we make a move. And I want us to be informed. If this service does not continue, we have no problems. I don't think this board has a problem taking action on this, because yes, this is just too important. I mean, this could sabotage our entire,
absolutely,
handling and how the auditing and how everybody else rates our handling of the school finance.
And I'm just not willing
to give them that kind of a,
I agree completely.
So,
Dr. Murphy?
The meetings have been stellar. The participation, the attitude of Prologic has been really good. There was a hiccup 3 weeks ago where I was feeling that they were kind of giving us a runaround a little bit, and I did not mince words with them. I felt 3 weeks ago we had a meeting that kind of resembled our old meetings, where they said, okay, we'll get back to you, and nothing was happening. At the end of the meeting, I let everyone else leave except the executive team, and I told Gary, this meeting was not good. I don't feel like we had a good meeting. And the very next week, not only was he on the phone, but he had the CEO of the company, Mr. Pepper, on the phone with him. And the next week went great. Fantastic meeting. And so, it's by the inch, it's a cinch. And we're going inch by inch as we go through. I do believe our finances are safe. The question is the reporting of the finances and the audit. I don't think that we're losing our money. It's just we're having to really work hard to make sure that we're reporting it correctly and in the most efficient and effective way as possible. And our message to Prologic has been simply, we want this product to work. And it should. With the money that we're paying, we paid over $80,000 for this year, or is that we have every expectation that they will not only satisfy it to their satisfaction, but satisfy the product to our satisfaction. And we are absolutely holding their feet to the fire. And I really do believe that the board can rest a little easier. We are moving forward.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. And I would like to echo Mr. Coronado's concern that, Ms. Aguirre, maybe next month you could just give us a brief update. Is it better? Is it worse? Is it the same? Because this is our heartbeat, our finances, and we're very responsible for them.
We'll definitely update the lists that we've got, that we provided tonight.
Thank you very much.
And it'll come through our project managers.
Okay. Ms. Cosres?
Ms. Aguirre, in going over all this, I think it's great what you all are doing, but I just have one concern. How much time on task is this taking away from people that have been assigned from their regular job duties, and how much extra money is it costing the district?
Well, I can say that we have had to attend more trainings, but that would have been the case even if the implementation had been your typical customer supported type of implementation. The trainings we're attending are basically trainings we never had. And so that's, that would be part of the routine conversion. How much more are we working? I would have to say that between the workarounds we've developed and then the new information we've learned, we are managing time a little bit better. And so our hope is that, we implement a process, and if we see it, we analyze it within a week or two. If it's not working, then we change that process, because of course through the conversion we have been required to change the way we operate. But that's just the norm that comes with a conversion. But I do think that little by little we are getting to a better position.
I guess my last question is, what is your timeline that we're going to be there?
honestly, I don't. We don't have a set timeline. We figured let's go through those projects, you know, one mm-hmm. at a time, and get to the complete them. But I can't speak and say, but I don't know if project managers might have a timeline. I would think that by the end of this year, we'd be in a better position. But
of this year, do you mean December 31st? No, you mean next July. Yes. Okay.
I would say that we do have measurable goals in each of the aspects of the finance module. For instance, in payroll, we want to run two payrolls without a hiccup. When we want to close a month, be able to close a month and understand all that entails. We want to have standard reports that we can provide the board for,
exactly.
And any other audit process that would go through that. So we do have measurable goals. I can tell you, since we started the project in October, we have made some pretty big strides in what we've done, and I feel confident that with the controls that we now have in place, we're going to be able to get anything else that comes up and take care of it as it comes up pretty bit fast. You know, if we keep the methodology in place, I think it can only help us as a district realize other implementations of other projects. It's kind of a twofold. We've got this huge big picture that we're working on in the district, and then we've got the team finance module that we're really trying to get taken care of, because we do take it seriously. This is, you know, taxpayers' money, so we are taking it very, very seriously. But I think I can speak for Estella that we have seen some really good strides. We've seen good customer service coming out of Prologic. We've already had 3 training sessions. We have 2 more scheduled within the next few months. We are working with the finance team on a day-to-day basis, reinforcing the training, picking up anything that they might have, another question that they might have. As we communicate to Prologic, we're keeping track of that now. We're having these meetings, we're recording them. Everything from a project management standpoint is in place. Is there room for improvement? Yes, there's always room for improvement. But I will tell you that Estella and I, with the leadership from Dr. Murphy, under the guidance of our executive directors, we have got a hold on this thing, and we are going to make progress. We're focused on that completely.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the board? Dr. Murphy, I would just really like to direct you and once again echo what Mr. Coronado said, that, you know, the board is very ready and willing. If this isn't going to work, cut the line and let's do something else. It's our finances. If you'll keep us abreast, we'd much appreciate it.
You said you want a report. Would that be a Friday packet report or another report from the
what's the board
managers? Just on a monthly basis would be fine.
Monthly at the board meeting? And just maybe something quick. Yes, it's going better. No, it's not, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a huge report, or just give us back
the same color.
Yeah, but that we can have a color. Thank you very much.
We'll see you all in December.
All right.
Tony, could you take us to the next agenda item, please?
Item C is PBMAS report, Mr. Warren.
President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, thank you for having me this evening. I don't know if it's something I said all the kids at first and then they turned off the lights, so I'll try to This evening I'll be discussing the performance-based monitoring review with you all. For this presentation, I want to apologize up front for all of the acronyms that I'm going to be throwing at you, because it's TEA, Texas Education Agency, and I guess they just like to use a lot of acronyms, so I'm going to share those with you. I wanted to give you a little bit of a background of what PBM is and how it's how they do it. So first of all, PBM is the performance-based monitoring is overseen by the TA's Division of Program Monitoring and Interventions, which they refer to as PMI. And the PBM report and all of its findings represent data-driven decisions made through the Performance-Based Monitoring and Analysis System, PBMAS. So essentially what TA has done is they use PBMAS, their monitoring system, to evaluate our district's progress by aggregating and calculating our district program data against the PBMAS standards or state rates. The PMI, or the Program Monitoring and Intervention Division, reviews the PBM reports and monitors the annual performance of the four selected program areas shown on the screen, which are bilingual education, ESL, career and technical education, CTE, No Child Left Behind, Title I program, and special ed.
And those representatives, the leadership, are here in the audience tonight.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Murphy. Performance level indicators are assigned based on the level of the program not meeting the PBMAS standard or state rate. And when I say standard, the standard is basically the 2011 tax state standards for each subject. So math would be 65%, the standard for reading ELA, social studies, and writing would be 70%, and then science would be 60%. So in your board packet, I also included this PBMAS report. And then it's got a lot of different percentages and numbers on it. And this is one piece of the PowerPoint presentation that I just slid in today, but it's not going to change very much. I just wanted to kind of let you guys know that on the left-hand side, on the document here, which you can't see on that side, is the program is where it says indicators and one. Those are program indicators or sub-indicators. So as I go through my presentation, that's what I'm referring to, the program indicators or sub-indicators. B would be the 2011 PBMAS standard. And so that would be on your report, it's the 2011 PBMAS standard percent or state rate, and then right next to it is the district rate or difference. And then C, the section would be on the far right-hand side, the 2011 indicator performance indicator level. And this evening, rather than show you a graph like this over and over again, I would like to present to you each evaluated PBM program, then discuss how the individual indicators arrive at performance level stage, if that's okay with you. So I'll begin by discussing the 2011 PBM indicators for bilingual ESL. Again, let me mention that each program area has a set of indicators or sub-indicators that are evaluated, and bilingual ESL has a total of 35 evaluated indicators. Although it's showing 13 on this list, there are sub-indicators. So for example, BE ESL tax pass rate, that's actually doing that for math, reading ELA, science, social studies, and writing. So in total, there are 120 indicators. And for BE ESL, they represent 35 of those 120, so they're actually they represent 34.3% of the evaluated PBM report. Also, I color-coded this report at the top. If you notice, the blue shows decrease. Anything that's highlighted as yellow is no change from the previous year, and orange is an increase. I'll speak to that. Blue is good. Blue represents a decrease from 2010, so if anything was, what we're always hoping for is a zero. So if we see blue, that means it went from a 1, a 2, or a 3, and it's at a 0 at this point. So blue is good. Yellow means that there was no change from 2010, and there was an indicator that was at greater than 0, and there's not been a change since last year. And then orange is an increase from 2010, and an orange can be anything from a 1 to a 2 to a 3, 3 being the highest indicator that you would have. Now, even though you see the colors, and orange and yellow always look scary, really, this is just an evaluation of the program. It's ongoing every year, and there's always room for improvement. So what TA is doing is they're evaluating all of our information, our tax data, our PEAMS information that's been submitted. They're putting it in the PBMAS system, and then it's giving us some information to say, hey, you guys might want to take a look at these areas. So that's kind of what we're talking about at this point. So let me go back really quick. If you notice, we have two areas of increase for BEESL. And then one stayed the same, and we do have three areas that we had a decrease from the previous year.
And if they're plain without anything?
If they're plain without anything, they're at zero right now.
And they were.
And they were at zero before. Thank you.
Which is good. Zero is what we want.
Zero is what we want. So what does that indicate to us? Bilingual Bilingual education is actually the stage of intervention of one. And so even when you hear the word stage of intervention, you think, oh, okay, what's that? Well, there are zero all the way down the line is what our goal is. But like I said, there will always be room for improvement. But if you notice on the, I don't know if you have the PowerPoint with the color slide or if it's coming out well. We're right next to where it says stage of intervention one. The level of performance of concern is low to moderate. And that's not me saying that's low to moderate. That's from TA when you look through the manual for what's going on here. It's saying that TA understands that there's issues, but they don't consider an issue that's creating like high significance or something that we have to worry about that much. But it is saying that we still need to address them. And the activities that we use, if you look to the next part of that chart where it says activities, BE ESL will need to do a focus data analysis, a program evaluation, a continuous improvement plan, and a program effectiveness review upon TEA request. That's the last one. If TEA requests that, then we would have to do that one. And right now, at this point, everything's retained locally unless selected for submission due to risk analysis or verification. And they will only have to address the areas of concern, which would be 6, left year after exit English, tax pass rate for science, subcategory science, section 10, left recommended high school program or distinguished achievement program diploma rate, and 11, left graduation rate. The next program would be PBM indicators for career and technology education. And CTE has a total of 25 evaluated indicators, and they represent 24.5% of the evaluated PBM report. Now, CTE is actually something to be celebrated because last year, CTE was not in that great of a spot. And it doesn't even, when you look at it here, and it just shows those the areas of partial of 2 and 4 as being areas of decrease, I want you to take note, please, that those are areas of decrease that went from 3s to 0s, and that's pretty tough. We had TA visit us, and they worked with the CTE program. We had interventions, and right now, CTE has done tremendously well. Last year, they were at a stage 4 intervention, which required the visit. Now, like number 2 math and reading, they had a decrease from a 3 to a 0. Reading went from a 0, which required improvement, to just a straight out 0. Science from a 3 to a 0, and social studies from a 2 to a 0. Right now, they're what's considered a stage not assigned NA year after on-site. So they've already had their visit. Now they have to just maintain what we discussed during the visit and make sure that we continue to stay on progress or do what they asked us to do for the visit. The level of performance and concern by TA is again indicated as low to moderate. TA already had their visit. They feel like we're on track. All that's required of CTE this year is that they continue to work on their campus continuous improvement plan and also address the CTE pass rate of their LEB students in science and non-traditional course completion rate for males. So congratulations to CTE for their turnaround. The next program for PBM indicators would be the No Child Left Behind NCLB title programs. And NCLB has a total of 16 evaluated indicators, which represent about 15.6% of the entire evaluated PBM report. You'll notice that they have 3 areas of decrease that all went to 0. So right now, NCLB is sitting at all 0s. The only reason that they are even staged this year is not because of anything, because they have no 1s, no 2s, nothing. There's a rule that says an LEA and other stages of intervention that fails to meet 2 or more ICR indicators also will be required to engage in compliance-related intervention activities. ICR is, we got to remember the name, it's compliance review, initial compliance reviews. So we were staged, and then they missed a total of 7 ICR items, but that's 7 items out of 141. So that still wasn't anything major, and those items are being addressed as well. At this stage of intervention, NCLB just needs to address the items listed under the LEA section on this graph and have them ready to ship TA and contact us for that submittal. So they would be, again, needing to do the ICR, the initial compliance review, focus data analysis, and then a continuous improvement plan. Continue to work on that. Our final PDM program of evaluation is special education. And SPED has a total of 26 evaluated indicators. And of those 26, they represent 25.4 of the evaluated PDM report. 25.4% of the evaluated PDM report. SPED also saw several decreases from last year. So there are SPED, they went for our, if you look at the chart here, SPED tax pass rate in science went from a 2 to a 0. Social studies went down from 1 to 0. Their math and reading for section 1 went from a 0 required improvement to just a 0. They have three areas that stayed the same that had no change. And we have three areas of focus that they are addressing currently with their continuous improvement plan. But again, SPED improved from a stage 1A to a stage 1. And again, I point out that the stage of intervention, this is coming from TA, is considered to be low, of low concern. So this just means that we still have a lot of work to do together. We've been putting on what's called an integrated SIP. Before, all of these individual entities were working on ways or addressing these issues. Now we're working together to make sure that, because we're all addressing the same students. So now we're working on the integrated SIP. So just to recap, bilingual ESLs at a stage 1 SIP implementation, CTEs, stage not assigned year after onsite, No Child Left Behind is at a stage 1, we're just continuing to work with them on the ICRs, and special education is at a stage 1 SIP implementation.
Board, do you have any questions for Mr. Moore?
Through the chair.
Yes, Dr.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. Great job. And Warren, this is fantastic news. Want to thank the program heads and the executive directors and everyone that are here working on this. We could be easily sitting here talking about an increase in our sanctions with PBMAS, and we absolutely are here talking about a significant decrease in every area. And it's just showing a movement, a progressive movement toward excellence in another great area here in Canyon Tio. This is really, really, it's great news. Our PBMAS report is really something to be proud of this year.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Any other questions or comments? No? And that was a real nice report. Thank you very much for making it as clear as it can be.
Thank you. I just wanted to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for spacing out my time, because you know that I borrowed the suit last time. And this time I've had enough time to gain some weight and borrow my uncle's suit.
Thank you. We can't wait to see what the next suit will be. Tony? I think that takes us to the consent agenda.
Yes, ma'am. Consent agenda to consider approval of board meeting minutes of September 20th, 2011, October 19th, 2011, the attendance, financials, and warrant list for October 1st through the 31st, 2011, in the amount of $1,399,677.71, budget amendments, acceptance of donations, the quarterly investment report, grant review proposals for Fine Arts Institute Support Program, Texas Literacy Initiative, EPCC Obesity, Nutrition, and Physical Education Interventions, and the Southwest Effective Educator Program. Payment to IntelMed for claims processed for school health and related services. Purchase of Voxeo Voice XML Prophecy and Server in the total amount of $11,212.80. Purchase of composition notebooks from El Paso Office Products in the total amount of $8,800. Purchase of laptop computer cows for Canyon Tio High School from Desert Communications, Inc. in the total amount of $74,652.06. Contract with Developing Minds Incorporated in the total amount of $13,100. And purchase and installation of digital projectors, for Garcia Elementary School from Plan B Networks in the total amount of $14,405.48.
Thank you very much, Tony. Anybody like to pull something?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move to approve the consent agenda as read.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as read so well by Tony. Tony, could you please poll the board?
Mr.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Cardona?
Yes.
And that will take us to number 9, the new business.
Item 9A is consider approval of BBG Local Board Members' Compensation and Expenses. This is the first reading, and Mrs. Aguirre will be presenting on behalf of Ms. Carrasco.
Hi. Good evening, Board President Searles and board members. I believe you, in your package, you received the first presentation of the BBG Local. And it is my understanding that Ms. Carrasco basically just added the blue line, the last sentence on page 1 of 2. And so at this time, if there were any additional recommendations or changes that you'd like to make.
How does the board feel about the policy as it's read at this first reading? Fine. Armando, are you happy with the wording?
Yeah, that's true. The only I was just looking at Monsworth, but I guess we could discuss that if you wanted to. January.
You know, I think we're all pretty good. You know, if somebody wanted to do something, I don't see us getting in the way of anybody. But I think we're all pretty agreeable. So if the policy sounds good to you, we can just leave it as this and, you know, see what doors open. And
we might dip into your budget.
I'm good with that, too. I've been hoarding that for a while.
There you go.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the first reading of BBG Local.
And do I have a second?
Second, ma'am.
Okay. Tony?
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Cardona?
Yes.
And let me just say that we excused Ms. Carrasco tonight. She was not feeling well. She went home.
I hope she feels better.
Thank you.
Next item is item B, discussion regarding December pay dates. Ms. Aguirre.
But again, I did provide a memo in the Friday packet with a timeline and explanation as to how this option had even come to play. And what I did is this evening I provided you with a copy of the slides that I'm going to share with you, just to kind of give you an idea of how this all evolved. Is that clear for you? Okay. Moved on into the Teams conversion and into the payroll system. What the Teams system requires us to do is through the initialization process every beginning of the fiscal year, we have to set schedules and calendars. You all will remember last year we had a discussion on setting up the calendars. And so basically through the payroll module, one of the processes we have to take into consideration is setting the pay date calendar. And basically everything is driven by the calendars that we are mentioning. And so in May, the payroll supervisor approached me and informed me that, you know, we needed to make a decision as to how we were gonna set that calendar. And the only one month that we needed to consider was the December month, because traditionally the district has made payments the 15th of the month and then the last working day on duty. And this was basically the only option we had because, for one, the system we had, the AS400, had no other capabilities. but we would have to come in December, you know, during the holiday to actually cut a check if we were to make pay on the last day of the month. And so considering that we had a system that now was automated and would allow us to schedule the payments, process payroll within a sufficient time, and then just process it to hit the banks according to the pay date we had. And also, we have a paperless payroll now where every employee either gets a pay card or has a direct deposit into their account. That was another opportunity that gave us the option to select between the paydays. So understanding this, what we did is I took it to Cabinet and informed Cabinet that we needed to make a decision as to how are we going to schedule the paydays. In discussions through Cabinet, we discussed pros and cons, but weren't ready to make the decision just based on the individuals in Cabinet. So we took it to leadership in June. And so through the June leadership meeting, Dr. Murphy and I explained the situation, the scenarios, the pros and cons, and, you know, leadership had the opportunity to voice what they were thinking or, you know, considerations that perhaps we hadn't thought of. We actually had an open vote in which each administrator or leadership member had to raise their hand and indicate whether they wanted to do the payroll period of December 15th and December 30th, or keep it as it was with the December 15th and then the last working day on duty. And so through the vote, it was agreed that we were going to move to standardize the pay date and follow the same pay date schedule we had with all the other months. I think I spoke too much. And on this slide is actually where I was just showing you what our CISD pay dates are. And basically, it's the traditional, what we're going to call traditional, is the 15th and the last day of the month. And then the December pay date schedule. And then here, the slide with the who is basically how it was determined as to what option we would be selecting. So at the point after the June leadership, when we determined that we were going to opt for the following the traditional pay dates, one of the first things we mentioned in that June leadership and then followed in July and August is please make sure you remind your staff that we have changed our pay schedule. In addition to that, when I had held the Finance Academy for office managers, we again informed them of the change and went ahead and reminded them and asked that they please distribute or share the information at the faculty meetings. In addition to that, we had fundraising trainings. We also had campus finance trainings where we cover payroll, travel, and different other aspects of the finance department. And basically there, we also informed. And in attendance at the campus trainings were entire faculties, especially the teachers and paraprofessionals. We also added it onto the employee handbook. And the employee handbook, all employees must review the employee handbook and then through the team system actually confirm that they read and reviewed the system, the handbook, I apologize. And so that was one other measure we took to make sure that we communicated this to the employees. In addition to that, then the plan was that we would be sending out global emails in the months of November and December to remind employees of the change that had been implemented. And so last week was the first global email that went out, and that is when the issue, the discussion or the desire to discuss this change was brought up. And so one of the things that was discussed as well, now that we have set the pay schedule to reflect the December 15th and December 30th pay date, can we go back? How is it that we can change the system and go back to what we used to have? And we did contact ProLogic because I wanted to make sure that I was clear on what it would entail to do this change. They did indicate to us that, is it possible? Yes. You know, they indicated they'd run a query and then we find out. Basically what happens is that At the point of any employee that is leaving the district in December, it'll affect, because it's already set, the payday deductions. That calendar drives a lot of factors in their pay. And so basically what we'll need to do is then go back and revisit the individuals that are reported on and make sure that we change it and it reflects correct. Is it going to be a task? Yes, it is. But they didn't say it couldn't happen. Finance, payroll, and IT met last Thursday to discuss it. And just because, you know, we had to listen to the different departments and ensure that, you know, we are all on the same page and that we cover everybody's needs, or at least try to. So basically, I guess the biggest concern is, if you all recall, we had the September 15th payroll, which is the first payroll, and in the conversion of the data for the benefits module, it created quite a bit of, it presented issues of docs and overcharges for employees. The concern is that if we go and make these changes, will it do that to the checks again? And so because the 21st is the last day that everyone is on duty, what will happen to that employee that receives an incorrect paycheck? You know, that employee will have to wait till January 4th before anybody can resolve his concerns. And so basically that is where the hesitance in moving to that, you know, to change and reverse the processes in all the HR, finance, and IT departments. The next slide, the payroll processes, basically I'm outlining how the payroll process will be covered this time around. And what I did is I have what we call the traditional and then the shortened version with the 15th and the 21st pay date. This isn't anything different because every year for as long as many employees can remember, payroll has been processed in this manner. So it means that the December 15th payroll is processed and then they turn around and produce a second payroll within a couple of days. And so where a normal payroll process is 6 to 8 days, if we follow the December 15th and 30th pay dates, on the December 30th pay date, payroll will have 3 days to process. It's manageable. It's not something that's not possible. Like I said, we've been doing it for many years now. The only thing that we will communicate is that any type of supplemental pay, extra duty pay, will not be processed. Any stipend will not be processed because that entails campuses turning in everything on time and then being able to data enter all that information. And so basic salary checks will be processed, but nothing additional, okay? In addition, if we look at the December 15th and 21st pay date, that turnaround time is just the 1 day process. Basically, what has to happen is we process payroll, and then the banks, what we call the ACH, is we need to submit the ACH or the deposit to the banks 2 days prior to the payday. And so, I'm going to review the one that the bottom, the December, where it says Wednesday, December 21st. On that one, and I guess I'll move it over to the calendar. It might be a little helpful. What I did is if you look at the items that are highlighted in yellow, we will, payday is on the 15th, as you can see, and then on the 16th is a Friday, so that we have that 1 day to process the payroll and then submit the ACH that following Monday, and then the 21st, the paychecks will be distributed. And again, the only concern with that is whether or not the accuracy will be there. And so that's another consideration, but like I said, it's not something that we haven't experienced in the past, and so definitely if that is the way we move, we can work with that. The concern is how accurate how will it react? Because we don't know for certain how the system reacts when we do changes at this point yet. And that's basically all I have. But I would like to stress that it's definitely, it was a decision that was deliberated on considerably and definitely included many individuals in the decision. And I don't know if you have any other questions.
Board members? I have a comment to make personally. This was printed for me off the computer, and it still states that, you know, we're going to have the original pay days. And so I would think that any employee who looked up their pay date, they're going to see this and see that they're not getting the new pay day, they're getting the old pay day.
Is that was on the website?
Uh-huh. And, you know, that's probably not a very comforting feeling to have your paycheck moved with no knowledge. And if you look on the website, you're seeing this as well. I have a problem with that it doesn't sound like any campus improvement committees, that there was nothing, it didn't come from the bottom up, it came from the up and, you know, went down. And I don't know how the board feels.
I have some comments too. You mentioned right now that on December the 19th, the payday. If you don't, if they get paid on that day, it won't include the extra duty pay or the supplemental. I mean, that has been the custom before. They don't get paid, they get paid until the 15th, so I don't understand that one. I think one of the issues here was that not all administrators went out there and informed their staff. So that was an issue. I know you said it started with cabinet and then leadership, and they were advised to go tell their staff. Well, not all of them did. And you also mentioned the employee handbook. Mm-hmm. Have all of the staff accepted or signed that they received?
I would have to ask Martha on that. I don't know.
So that's another issue. And I also looked up the payroll schedule. It is still posted online that the payroll would be December the 19th.
The 21st?
I think 21st.
No, it's
the 21st.
The 21st.
ACH is due on the 19th.
Okay, the 21st. I'm sorry. The 21st. So that's still an old payroll schedule. So if you look up online, that's an old payroll schedule. I think it was miscommunication on to employees. You said it was email sent global November, yes, but I think it was still kind of late. That's why.
Any other comments or considerations? I would just like, if you do it, you know, if something like this should happen again, which I'm sure it will at some point, that it be communicated to the staff in a much better way than it has been. I had teachers calling me, think they'd been fired. They were not happy over this and without their input in it. And as Ms. Gonzalez said, it's still kind of a slow trickle-down effect. So please, if you can step up the global email so people know they're not going to get paid as they, you know, as they look online. And please change this.
I will definitely look into that.
Anything else?
Yeah. I'm Chair.
Yes.
I don't know, traditionally, I know that it's not required, but Gangdu has always paid their employees the 15th and the last day before the holidays, and I don't see why it was changed. I mean, even in reading, I don't see the justification for it. The payroll schedule had already been put out. It kind of comes out of left field for me, and I just wanted to make that comment.
So, I know that you presented the pros and cons, Martha. Do you still stand in your recommendation to let the payroll as is, so getting paid on the 30th, December the 30th?
I think, is that, and then can you help? The changes that are going to be required are going to be from the HR department.
Another issue, you mentioned the January the 4th. If people don't get paid correctly, they're not going to wait until January 4th. They're going to be calling, because they get paid, they get notified early
They shake their head.
But who will he be calling?
Well, your department. You're going to be.
They'll be gone.
Yeah. No. But when do they get their check?
It would be the 21st. On the Wednesday is our last day on duty, December 21st.
And you'll be here.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And they're going to know what's wrong, and you're going to tell them, well, you have to wait until then. Well, I'm just because you're saying they won't know until January the 4th. They're never going to know until January the 4th.
No, it's not that they won't know. It's that the resolution might not be available for them immediately.
No, I understand that.
They will still have to wait till we return if that's the case.
And what are the chances? Like, is it a 50-50? I mean, because I understand that with grading, you can change dates. Like with grading, you have a closing window that you can open and close. Is it the same with payroll?
Teams is ultra sensitive to dates, as you know. It's mm-hmm. ultra sensitive to contract dates, and that's exactly what happened with the benefits. And it wasn't a Teams issue that caused the benefit snafu. It was the interface, you know, with TEB, the benefits module. It wasn't Teams at all. But it's because it didn't line the dates up with the way Teams was. So Teams is very sensitive to dates. So the decision was not made based on Teams. Okay, Teams could have handled it we could have done it every week. We could do payroll every week on Teams. Absolutely. The only issue currently is that we already have it set. So we would have to go and look at how to change the settings. So I guess my question to you, Ms. Gonzalez, is can I guarantee that everything pay would be, you know, would it come up? I can't give you an answer to that. If it was like, if I had another month leeway, I could say, yeah, I can make sure it's okay. Or if I said, you know, if we had done this, because when we were looking at this in July, I honestly said, and I think I said, this is not an issue anymore. We can do once a month payroll. We can do once a week payroll. I mean, we could get, you know, I mean, it's like the big cloud lifted that we could go into whatever we want once we define the payroll. The thing is, we define the payroll in August. We defined it in the summer. And so when we find it, we set up the calendar. And as I said, Teams is very specific. So we could have set it up anyway. So the only thing is, and I think, you know, it will run, absolutely will run. And the thing is, we would be here till the 21st. And the thing is, what I don't know is it would run on the 21st if you chose to go to the old schedule. And we could, you know, fix whatever errors came up. And the thing that I'm concerned about, too, is that is starting to be that Christmas week. And I don't know what kind of support I would get from ProLogic either. I do know they will close down on the 23rd. I did get that answer. You asked me to check. So they are closed down all day on the 24th, and they will close down on the 23rd. They only work till 10 o'clock. I said, if I even come in, if you only work until 10 o'clock. But so that's a day and a half.
Thank you, Ms. Brigham. What would the board like to do then? To direct administration to do, I guess. Take no action or just leave it?
Just leave it. That's what I
think. We come to consensus that it is. I don't hear any objections.
To leave the pay date as is, you mean, till the 30th?
To what the change has been, or do we want it to go back to
what it was, yeah.
What the employees are expecting it to be?
Well, I mean, administration to look at this, and they'd recommend the 21st pay date, right?
No.
The 30th?
It was originally the 21st.
The 21st, right?
And yes. Changed it. Back in.
Historically, it's been the 21st, and
the last day on duty,
but they changed it this year, and not all the staff is over.
Okay, if we run it on the 30th, who's going to be in here?
Well, it's automated. Nobody has to be.
It's automated.
Yeah.
And we have no paper checks to issue anymore because we are all on pay cards or direct deposit. So everything is electronic.
Well, I have.
And the only thing is the difference is going to be what?
Christmas money for some.
I know, but what is the issue with respect to if we've had it traditionally on the 21st?
God bless you.
Well, the determination of the setting the calendar, the pay dates back in mm-hmm. in the summer was made. And so now our concern is to reverse it. We're not quite sure how, if any, it'll be affected. Mm-hmm. And because all the communications, the most effective one was the global email, but it was just sent out last week.
I as a former employee, I know more that a lot of our people count on that. The 21st to carry them through Christmas. I mean, when my kids were young, that's mm-hmm. the money I used for Christmas. And I understand why you're doing it. I do, but I just know a lot of our employees didn't get the work and are going to be strapped.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm confused because you said that they met and you set the calendar in August. Well, then why is it in May? Then why was it published December 21st instead of? I don't understand how you're saying it's going to be reversed if it was published as such.
That I don't know why or how that got published. I don't know if it's. I couldn't tell you what. I don't know if that one was published when the calendar was adopted, possibly. I'm not sure.
All the pay dates are set here, but if you're saying you had meetings, it doesn't.
This page was uploaded to the website on August the 8th, the payroll schedule.
Yeah, so it was changed? Is that what happened?
I'm not sure how that got posted.
Well, what I'm looking at here, it shows that it was modified on August the 8th, 2011. And you're saying you had talks in June and in July,
yes.
And it was already set at the 21st. So, to me, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal to leave it at the 21st. That's what I see there.
My two thoughts on this are: first of all, for what it's worth, you know, leadership has 40 members in it that run the district from everything from campuses to departments. And there was a very strong vote to change it to the 30th. And I think they did consider issues like Patsy brought up, but the vote was that. Second of all, I am concerned when we had the September 15th, you all will remember all of the snafus when we changed the pay date with the double benefits takeout and those types of things. I'm just concerned that on December 21st, as we're walking out the door, we hit the button, and because we've changed it again, something like that happens again. And I'm just concerned about that because I don't want staff having to work part of the Christmas holiday if it can be avoided.
Doc, but what I'm reading here is this button's going to get pushed on the 19th, not the 21st.
The ACH is going to hit the bank, but the paychecks won't be distributed till the 21st.
But you'll find out on the 19th, and you should. No, you'll find out whether.
Yes, but the thing is that we don't have, on the 19th, it has to be in. If we find issues, we're not going to make the pay date of the 21st. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm. I follow, but still.
Well, what would y'all like to do? Have it researched further and brought back? Have it left alone or changed back?
I don't think there's anything to research.
Well, then what's the recommendation?
Yeah, what?
Do we want to go with the 21st? Is that what you're saying? Or do we want to go with the 30th?
The administration will certainly do what the board's bidding is on.
Sounds like the 30th is a sure thing. Everybody gets what they're supposed to get. Is that correct? And they get their stipend, they get their extra duty pay, they get everything. No questions. If they go to the 21st, there could be questions and there could be problems. If we revert back.
There's no certainty that the pay is all going to be.
We've already called Prologis and we've already asked them to do a what if scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know,
yes.
I met with Martha last week.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Seems so long ago. So, and we did meet, and we, and, you know, one thing that is with teams, you know, they said, you know, and that we can, we'll look into it, you know. Mm-hmm. They said, I said, can you change it? And they said, yes. I said, okay, what can you guarantee me? And they said, we'll try our best. And I said, okay. And I said, but what about, and I did ask them about the benefits. And I said, because, you know, it was very date sensitive.
Uh-huh.
And they said, yes, and that it is date sensitive. So, but, you know, I mean, they did give me that answer, but they said they would recommend if we stayed, if they had more leeway. I mean, more time.
Mm-hmm.
I will guarantee that we will do our due diligence to ensure everything is as close to correct as possible.
So would the board like to go with that and have it paid on the 21st?
I would like to have it paid on the 21st.
I think our employees would be very happy, and not to disregard leadership's vote, but I seriously think this should have come to the board somehow and trickled through as well, but definitely should have, you know, this should have never still been out there. So I'd like to see that as well.
Through the chair.
Yes,
can
sir?
I ask you a question? A lot of this conversation has been about the process that we went mm-hmm. through, and if next year we do it correctly, is the feeling from the board that we could go to the 30th next year, or is it more you don't want the 30th?
My thing is, if you ask the employees at large, maybe a survey, then we could go from there a bit, and then go from what the majority. Because, I mean, the thing is, leadership probably has more disposable income than some of our day-to-day. So if they rely on that during Christmas, it's kind of critical.
Right. And, you know, I did do, you know, one of the things, somebody had asked me that, and, you know, I was at a campus level for 10 years. And I can only speak from my experience. And when I gave that checkout, and I would say, okay, folks, I have your checks. And I personally gave those checks out the last day, and I said, you're not getting paid for another 6 weeks. And I'm telling you, they would call me, you know, and they would say, when we got that check on the 15th, you know, when we came back mm-hmm. in January, they said, Ms. Brigham, can we take time off? We have to cash that check. Ms. Brigham, can we take? They, I'm sorry, I've been on the other end too, so I've seen it. So, and there's, yes, there may be people, but there are also people that, you know, are also supporting themselves, you know, that are making, you know, yeah, they might be on leadership, but there's still only one person that's the head of a household. And, but I've seen them. I've been on campus for 10 years. I've seen what happens. And when I talk to my staff, and I talk to all my staff, and they said, they said, you know what? They said, we it goes to the bank. They said, thank goodness, you know. And so, so I think, yes, it was, it's probably, I think it's tradition that we're mm-hmm. we're bucking against. I don't think, it does not make the logic. The logic in me is to say that this is a logical way to handle it. On the 30th, I understand where you're all coming from, that we can absolutely do this, but I do think it is also the way it's, but I do think that it's something that I have seen it at a campus level, that I've seen the anguish in January.
We've gotten calls on the, as soon as we
and if they asked if we could
and
come
ask,
forward.
No, or mm-hmm. they'll ask, I didn't get my December 30th check. Do you have it in the office? And it's hard to tell them, no, it's the one you...
You understand?
And they think it's a Christmas bonus. You know, and so it, you know, it's yes. hard because then you realize that those individuals, you know, are out. But, you know, on both ends, you're going to have those that may have been
Absolutely.
Happy now that figured, okay, at least they're not going to be...
I
think the main issue here is that all employees other than maybe 40 district leadership are expecting something to happen like it always happened. And I think that's what we are trying to keep abreast of, that they not be shocked at Christmas time. And so with that, does the board pretty much come to consensus? We can have Dr. Murphy put it back to how it's reflected in here.
And I also like his suggestion about the survey, Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes, I think it's wonderful. And then next,
good point.
Come budget time, come payroll schedule time for next year, let's see what the survey says. And please, don't just ask the, you know, central office people. Make sure you ask the...
We'll do a district-wide
yeah,
survey.
Yeah, everybody.
We'll probably do it about maybe in April, only because we don't want to lose mm-hmm. the employees. You know, to summer vacation, especially.
Well, it'll be part of our surveys.
That's what I'm saying. We could add it into the survey.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Is there a motion for it? Or do
you know, there's actually, there is nothing on this agenda
right.
to
well,
call
well,
for.
We're directed to move it to the 21st, and we will do such. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. And Tony, the next item, please.
Item C, consider approval of list of brokerage firms proposed for 2011-12. Mrs. Aguirre.
On the Friday packet, I provided a memo with three organizations that Maria Urbina had recommended from First Southwest. And I have made contact with them. I submitted the documentation that we require for them to fill out in order for the board to consider them as approved brokers. However, at this point, actually this afternoon, and you will see the Tony's actually handing them out right now. This afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I did receive two packets, one from First Southwest and one from First Securities.
These arrived today?
They arrived today, yes. And basically, they've submitted. Merrill Lynch, Christy Carter did contact me and withdrew from even being considered a broker within the district only because they don't work with public funds. And so now we are trying to contact, I received a name from Wells Fargo in Austin, and so I've sent her documentation that we would require in order for us to move forward and approve them. And so at this point, all I have is that, again, I don't have the actual resolution because I didn't know we were going to actually get anybody. But I did provide the information so that you can review through, you know, in your own time. And then at the next board meeting, I will definitely have a resolution ready. Hopefully by then, Wells Fargo will have already submitted their information as well.
So this then is just for our information
yes,
right now.
Yes.
And we'll see it next.
Next board meeting.
Okay.
Like I said, I was hoping that by now they would have submitted, but I didn't get everybody's.
Thank you, Ms. Aguirre. We'll look for it next month.
Can I?
Sure.
I would like to also see a minority firm.
Minority? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I may, you were telling me, Martha, earlier, it isn't so much that, I mean, they're not turning in. We've put it out for a whole bunch of people and we're not getting a response. Is
right.
That?
I haven't gotten. Well, the names I provided are the only ones that Maria recommended from First Southwest. But I will contact and request that she give me additional.
There were some minority firms under the other one a while back when I don't know if they did the same type of work, but I think it's kind of something that I discussed last time, and I think it might be beneficial.
I'll check with Ms. Urbina.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kidd.
Thank you.
And Tony, that takes us to executive session.
Yes, and the time is now 8:15 p.m. and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, sections 551071, 551074 for consultation with attorney, for discussion of superintendent's evaluation process, discussion and review of internal audit function and position, and discussion of superintendent's compensation audit.
Thank you.
Lauren, if you all, in the calendar for December, if you could take that to the back, just like you'll look at it.
Call us back into open session, please. It's now 9:31.
Yes, the time is now 9:31 p.m. and the meeting has been reconvened into open session.
We were on agenda item number 10, our executive session, and we are out of executive session, and I believe the board is choosing to take no action. Well, actually, yes, the board is taking no action. And that takes us to our favorite agenda item.
I just want to say thank you, President Coronado, for your great service. And we really appreciate it and wish you all the best. Glad you're still with us. And Superintendent, I think I speak on behalf of the entire district that you served the district well in that capacity. And we're just thrilled to have you we appreciate Ms. Searles coming out, but I just wanted to say thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And I think we all ought to all stand up and say thank you.
And he's going to continue to serve. Thank you. Thank you.
We love you.